You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
I love the rain. It reminds me when I was growing up and I'd spend time with my great-grandmother. And we actually lived with her for a while. And on the rainy days, where growing up, generally you didn't go outside, my grandma saw rain as an invitation to slow down, an invitation to play. And so we would go out into her yard and we would dig up some dirt. We'd make mud pies. And then we'd pretend to have a party in the rain. And no matter what was happening, no matter what she was doing, whether she was gardening or tending to the chickens or whatever, and whatever the busyness was in life, in any moment, when the rain came, everything slowed down. So I guess growing up, every time I see the rain, it's an invitation to slow down. It reminds me that it's possible that the ground needs us to slow down. That the ground is actually inviting us to stay inside or maybe to come out and play, but at least stop trampling on it so much and just be still, be unhurried. I'm reminded of a passage in Job, chapter 38, verse 25, where the Lord is addressing Job and his sorrow and in his wondering and in his confusion. And the Lord reminds him with a question. He says, who cuts the channel for the flooding rain? Who clears the way for lightning? Who brings rain on an inhabited land and a desert where there's no human life to satisfy a parched wasteland and cause the grass to grow? Sometimes I think God sends the rain as an invitation to slow down from our hurried pace. Not necessarily to take a nap or to stay in bed, but maybe even to come outside and play and make mud pies. Walk barefoot on the grass. Feel the ground beneath your feet. To be fully present with the God who made everything and to remember that we have a whole lot less control of this life than we think. And sometimes the only thing we really can do, the only thing we really need to do, is wait. Is slow down. Is be reminded that we're invited to an unhurried life. Despite what society tells us, with all of our technology and Google and find it now, where we're invited to live this frenetic life, this fast-paced life where everything is right at our grasp, I think the rain invites us to an unhurried pace, reminds us that not everything is within our grasp, and that we don't even have to grasp for everything, that sometimes we really can just slow down. Sometimes we can play. Admittedly, I struggle with play. When we didn't live with my grandma, I worked a lot, even as a kid. And so work was a part of how I was formed. And that's not a bad thing. For most of my adult life, in ministry at least, I've worked more than just one job. To make ends meet, like many of us, right? But I know work. And as I've gotten older, sometimes I realize that that's all I know, work. And then Ian asked me to play. Allison asked me to step away. A friend asked me to go out and just hang out for a little while. And that's good and beautiful and right. Man, every time it rains, I am invited to play, to be in a hurry. It's these memories of me and my grandma. It's the words of God to Job. It's the realization that everything needs to be replenished. And it can't be replenished if it's always in a hurry. If we're always trampling the ground can't find new life when the rain comes. If we're always building things and turning parks into concrete parking lots. And the ground can't rest. And then the beautiful things that make the earth beautiful can't grow. And our life is the same. I think God invites us to an unhurried life. And I think COVID-19 and all of its death-dealing confusion and the way it's become politicized, I think social distancing and stay-at-home orders, with all of the tension it creates with markets and money and economy and what we have determined are people's well-being, I think one of the redemptive threads that may be found in having to slow down is to be reminded that we are actually made for an unhurried life. And we live with a wholly unhurried invitation in a society that is always in a hurry. And so a lot of times what we end up doing is we strain and stretch and stress to try and work life out. And let's be honest, that's when things mess up, right? When we try to do things on our own, in our own way, at our own pace, in our own time, that's when things don't always work out so well. There's a story in Scripture I like. It's about a king named Asa. He's the king of Judah. 2 Chronicles 15 and 16, we learn that he brings revival to the people of God. He's a faithful king. He knows what God can do. He's seen it. But something happens. He goes to war, and the war is about to start, and he's waiting for God to show up, right? That's how we talk about him. He's waiting for God to move. He's waiting for God to do something. And it comes down to the 11th hour. And Asa, in this hurried pace, in this place of panic, reaches out to another king of an entirely different nation and makes a treaty with him and, you know, makes a good king decision. We would look at Asa's decision and say, okay, he called in reinforcements. He made a treaty with another nation and he protected his people. He was doing what was right. It was the 11th hour and people were about to be killed and the war was about to happen. But God had told Asa through the prophets to wait, to slow down, because God isn't in a hurry. But Asa was, and the threat of death was imminent. So Asa makes his treaty. And anyway, things end up working out all right. There's a verse, 2 Chronicles 16, that's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. The prophet comes to Asa, and he chastises him a little bit and reminds Asa that, and here's what he says, the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the whole earth to show himself strong to hearts who are loyal to his. I'll say that again. The eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth show himself strong to hearts that are loyal to him. See, it dawns on me that we can learn what Asa learned later. That we don't have to be hurried. We don't have to rush into the future. I know we want to, especially right now. We're done. We're done with masks. We're done with social unrest. We're done with election season. And some of us will be done with what happens after election season. And that's kind of my point. We're never satisfied. We're always going to be in a hurry for this thing to be over, whatever this thing is. I feel it. But we've had a lot of rain lately, hadn't we? And the rain has reminded me that there's an invitation to live an unhurried life, maybe even to play a little bit. And remember that the God who sends the rains down to the earth, the replenished ground, is the God whose eyes roam throughout the earth to show himself strong to hearts that are loyal to him. It's hard for my heart to be loyal to God when my heart is always in a hurry. And I'm reminded that I don't have to rush into the future because I have no business rushing into a future or fearing a future that God already inhabits and whose eyes are roaming throughout the earth in that beautiful picture, looking for ways to show himself strong, to make his presence known. See, this isn't about God being in control. This isn't about that kind of language we use. This is about God being faithful. That even in the waiting and even in the desire to hurry and even in the desire to rush into the future, God is present. He's present with me now, and he's not bound by time, and he's already in the future, and he'll be present with me in the future, and he's present with me in the in-between. And there's a promise in the Hebrew Scriptures that teach us that he's looking to show himself strong, that he just needs a loyal heart, and it's hard to have a loyal heart when my heart's divided with hurry. There's a resilience that is available to us if we receive the invitation to slow down. We can be unhurried. And then we can find that we're less anxious. Maybe that we're less bothered. We can find that we're more present. And we might even have a deeper sense of joy. So I want to offer you some practices. And these are some practices that I have to tend to when I start to feel hurried. When I know that I need to slow down, and I'm not doing a very good job of it, I choose to drive in the right lane, and I try to go 5 miles per hour under the speed limit. Yeah, I'll be that guy. Sometimes what I'll do is when I'm at the grocery store, I'll choose the long line. Sometimes what I'll do is as I stand in the long line, I will let others go in front of me. And it's sad. Because, y'all, I'm not trying to be kind. I mean, that's kind, I'm sure, but that's not my intent. My intent is to discipline my body and my mind to slow down. There's another simple practice, and it's something that I mostly do alone. And if you ask Allison, she'll tell you there's no way I do it, but I do. And that is I choose in those moments that I am hurried to chew my food more slowly. Yeah, I chew fast. Like, I chew like a boss. I slow down. See, that's all this is. It's finding ways to push against that impulse you feel inside to do it fast or to move quickly. It's typing a little slower. It's texting a little slower. It's responding a little later. It's not answering the phone on the first ring. It's taking the longest line in the grocery store. It's driving in the slow lane. It's not making the shortcuts. It's pushing back against that impulse that we have to be fast, quick, and in a hurry. So I invite you to do some soul work this week. Ask yourself some of the obvious questions. Why are we in such a hurry for everything just to move on? And I know there are some obvious answers. But then ask yourself, is there a way that I can wrestle with that desire in such a way that it doesn't have an authority in my life and cause me to move at a hurried pace? Each week we gather at the table. We remember what Paul said, that at the right time, God sent Christ to redeem the world. God's faithfulness and long-suffering, God's unhurried nature, His reality of unbounded time, His desire to show Himself strong, and His knowing exactly when to move can give us such joy and such peace, can give us hope. And every week we come to the table, we remember that God knew right when He needed to rescue all of us. So when we hold the bread and we hold the cup, we remember the God who came to us just at the right time, who can be trusted with our time, who longs to show Himself strong, and who loves us too much to let us just hurriedly and frantically rush through life. Beloved, when we come to the table, we're invited to an unhurried life too. See you at the table.
You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.